This is our State Capitol Report, where today we will talk about jobs in Wisconsin and badger care. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, September 30th. We will talk about the 92,000 people who will lose their badger care coverage by year's end, and the proposal that Wisconsin counties be granted the authority to accept the federal money for Medicaid expansion that Governor Walker rejected. That's coming up after 7:30 this morning with State Representative Melissa Sargent. But in this half hour, we will talk about jobs and job creation in Wisconsin and what needs to happen to grow Wisconsin's economy. And we will also get our guest take on some of the political back and forth between Governor Walker and Wisconsin Democrats over how well we are really doing. Our first guest is Tom Still, president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. His latest column is called "Creating Jobs in Wisconsin is More Than a Political Flap. It's Hard Work." Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, I have posted your column on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and we will talk about your ideas as to what needs to happen to create more jobs in Wisconsin. But let's talk about that political flap first. What is your take on what's going on here? We see this report that says one thing, another report says another. We're either ranked second in the nation for economic growth, or we're ranked 35th in the nation for job growth. What's really happening in Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, let's start with the fact that if you want a guaranteed disagreement over something, gather different economists, right? But the latest numbers out of the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics are a hard count of jobs, according to reports by employers, and there's about a 96% compliance rate in the state, that looked at a particular period of time ending in March of 2013. And it's probably a pretty accurate picture of the number of jobs that were created in the state over that period of time. So that was a hard count that varies from the month-to-month count, which is actually a survey, and probably a lot less accurate, up or down, either way, than the Philadelphia Reserve Board forecast that you mentioned, as I think a good example of where they think the state might be moving ahead. And there are different things out there that come up and from different organizations, all credible, that are likely to have varying forecasts. So that's the difference, that what you're looking at in terms of where we ranked about 34th in the nation in job creation over a particular period of time, that's a hard count. And things like the Philadelphia Reserve Board survey are forecasts.
Well, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Wisconsin gained 24,305 private sector jobs in the 12 months from March of 2012 to March of 2013. That places Wisconsin 34th among the 50 states in job creation pace. And some of our Midwestern neighbors are doing better than Wisconsin, including Minnesota and even Iowa, Tom. So why, though, is Wisconsin not doing as well as our neighbors in job creation?
Well, if you start with the notion that the different national factors are more or less affecting all the states equally, things like interest rates and uncertainty over the start of health care reform and all those kinds of things. Throw that out and look at some other things that are going on. I'd say there are four pieces that really make some sense when you look at Wisconsin. We have been heavily invested over time in some sectors that are currently low growth in terms of job creation. By that I mean manufacturing, even agriculture. Tourism has created more jobs of late, but a lot of those are lower paying jobs. And then we've been less invested in some of the identified high growth sectors that economists agree is where most jobs are going to be created over time.
And where are those areas?
Oh, things such as healthcare, scientific and tech services, software, internet publishing, telecom, physical and social sciences. Now, some areas where we're pretty strong in this state, but they don't always get a lot of attention, are business and financial services and finance and insurance. Arts and design, I think that there's a lot going on in Wisconsin in that area. Architecture and engineering, those are some areas where I think we do have some advantages, but they're not sectors that people think of all the time in terms of when they think about the staples of the Wisconsin economy.
Well, but back to when you said that we are less invested in some of these high growth areas or jobs, what do you mean by less invested?
Well, in some cases, capital has not flowed to those sectors as efficiently as, you know, you'd like to see in the markets. In some cases, it's policy choices made years ago when the economy looked a certain way that have been perpetuated over time. Not because it was particularly anybody's fault. It's just we probably haven't pivoted as well as we should as a state. And so I think that reexamination is going on. I mean, some other things that affect us are demographics. We're aging slightly faster than, you know, most states. We still have fewer. Our proportion of adults who have four-year degrees is still somewhat lower than most states, particularly Minnesota when you look across the border. And our workforce participation rate has declined a bit, and it used to be extremely high in Wisconsin, and in part because there were actually I think we all historically were number one, two, or three in the workforce participation rate among women, and that appears to have fallen back a bit. And there's some people who I think because of the recession just simply left the workforce. And finally, and this is geography as much as anything, we're not as fully engaged in the global economy as we could be, with companies looking for opportunities to sell their goods and services overseas, even though we have some really good things to offer. We're not quite there yet, although there has been some strong progress for a lot of reasons.
Well, we'll talk more about things you think ought to happen in order to get us back on the right track in terms of job creation. But the point of your column overall was to say that our jobs situation right now is not necessarily totally to blame on the recession, that this is something that's been kind of in the works for more than a decade.
Yeah. Let's take manufacturing jobs, for example. The peak month, in fact, for manufacturing jobs in Wisconsin was March of 2000. We had 600,000 or so manufacturing jobs in the state, which was tremendous. Today, it's, you know, more like 450, 460,000. So there was a long decline that took place over a number of years. Yes, the recession aggravated that, but some of that shift was already underway. That's a good example of a trend right there. I think the trend in terms of agriculture and producing jobs, if you look back, agriculture itself in terms of farm employment hasn't produced jobs in, I don't know, maybe 100 years, because, you know, fewer and fewer people lived on family farms, and the migration into urban areas made a difference. So things like that have been in place for years.
Well, what about the Democrats who say that one of the reasons Wisconsin is lagging behind our neighbors like Minnesota is that Wisconsin put into place Act 10 and hurt the pocketbooks of public employees, which in turn hurt the economy?
Mm-hmm. I'm not an economist, although at least I've had the benefit of being around some really smart ones. But I would say that probably the effect of Act 10, if you stood back and looked at it, might have been short-term hits in certain geographic areas more than others, Dane County, and now that's probably working its way through. I don't know if anyone's done an economic study about the effect of that to this point. It'd be really interesting to know. Most economic trends, though, take place over a period of years, and they're not, you know, you don't fully know right out of the chute. There's a reason even economists joke that it's called the dismal science. I mean, it can take a while to really measure what's going on.
We are talking with Tom Still. He is president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. His latest column is called Creating More Jobs in Wisconsin is More Than a Political Flap. It's Hard Work. And we welcome your questions for him. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What do you think needs to happen in order to create more jobs in Wisconsin and boost our economy? Do you think Wisconsin is on the right track or not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Tom Still, president of the Wisconsin Technology Council and one of our regular Week in Review guests as well. Wisconsin ranked 34th in the nation in private sector job creation from March of 2012 to March of 2013, according to recent figures from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. However, the state is ranked second in the nation for economic growth, according to the Federal Reserve Bank in Philadelphia. During this segment of our State Capitol Report, we are talking about the condition of Wisconsin's economy when it comes to job creation and job growth. And also wanted to talk to you, Tom, before we take some calls, a little bit about the fall legislative agenda and the package of 7 or 8 bills that are on the table to create jobs. I think Peter Barca, the Assembly Minority Leader, said, yeah, these bills are fine and good, but they're just baby steps. So, you know, we need bold action. Okay, give us your take on the legislation that I think deals a lot with job training and some other things. Is that what we need in Wisconsin to boost job growth?
Well, I think a variety of things are needed, but certainly job training is a part of it because of the makeup of our workforce. And again, this gets back to demographics in a certain way. The workforce in Wisconsin has evolved over time. It's still not as quite as educated and as skilled, and especially in some areas, as a lot of employers would like to see. And so when they're thinking about hiring and looking for employees, does it force them to think about expanding elsewhere? So I think there have been a number of good studies that have looked at that and said, yes, we need to do more in the workforce area, especially as we start to hit a wave of retirements. That's going to be a big issue. So, but I think, you know, in some ways both sides are right. You know, I think the governor's package appears to be a good one. But folks like Peter Barca are always also correct that there are, you know, probably some bolder things that can be done over time.
Let me ask you, I know you have a list of different things, mm-hmm. but you can do one thing today to aid in job creation in Wisconsin. What would it be?
Well, I think if it was one thing, it would be to continue the emphasis that we've seen in the past 10 years or so on entrepreneurism. That has been a fairly dramatic shift in Wisconsin. Now, and there are a lot of different ways to do it. I mean, there's the venture capital bill that passed in the spring was a good start. There are a variety of things culturally that have changed in Wisconsin over a fairly short period of time. We see more organizations that are working on that. We see more startup companies. I see a really vibrant information technology sector coming together. There are a lot of great things happening in life sciences and water technology, and it's all with startup companies. And if you look at national statistics on where jobs are coming from, it's all from young companies, companies that are 5 years old or younger. They make up a at least two-thirds by a conservative count, and probably a lot more of all job creation in the country. So that's where Wisconsin, for a long time, if you want to look at where we lag a little more historically on than jobs, is actually company creation. So the more companies you have, the more jobs you're going to have. I think some of the emphasis that you've seen, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation certainly put a lot of effort into this. I think a variety of private and other groups have. You see it in the educational system. I think that's been a cultural change in Wisconsin that would help match some of the things we're seeing in Minnesota.
Well, let's take some calls, see what listeners want to say. We have Gene in Madison with us first. Hello, Gene.
Yes. One of the questions I have is, it seems as if the BLS and the government is constantly changing their definition of employment and unemployment. Shadow Stats by John Williams, he uses the 1980 definition of unemployment, and that's substantially different in numbers than what you now have. And I'm just curious, Mr. Still, as to how do you deal with the fact that the statistics are constantly being changed, which some might view as manipulated?
Sure.
And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks, Gene.
All right. Yeah, thanks for the question. I think some of the measures have changed over time because the economy has itself. You know, if you go back to 1980, pretty much people worked full-time or part-time, and that was it. They were either in or out. And there weren't the series of self-employment and consulting and other sort of independent jobs. And entrepreneurism really wasn't monitored as much at that time as well. Those are all trends that have come on with the change in the workforce itself over the past 30-plus years. So I think the BLS has tried to remain as constant as it possibly can, but also reflective of what's going on in the workforce, which is it really has changed dramatically. I think work in the United States today is different than work when, you know, it was my parents or your parents. It's a different animal in terms of how people even regard whether they are employed. I think sometimes you hear from people who don't think they're employed, but they might be doing some things on the side, and the others who think they're fully employed, but they're really not in the classic sense.
Let's go next to Laverne in Monroe. Hi, Laverne.
Hello, Joy. Hello, Tom.
Hi.
Good to hear from you again, Laverne.
Yes. Do you think with all the subprime home loans, do you think that the banks have been helping or hurting the job situation?
Well, you know, that was, of course, if not the cause, at least the harbinger of the fall in 2008. The banks went through that. Not all of them survived. And now it's back to a point where there appears to be pretty good stability in that sector, by and large. I mean, I'm sure there's still some rough spots. What's different about banks today is that for a long time there was a bit of a clampdown on loans, especially business loans, because the banks themselves weren't sure where to turn, what trends to follow, and what kind of standards they had to meet with those business loans. What I'm seeing now is that banks are loosening up a bit and trying to be reflective of these changes in the economy as well, where there are more startup businesses, there are more entrepreneurs. These can be Main Street mom-and-pop businesses, or they can be the high-tech stuff. Entrepreneurs come in all these different flavors, and I think the banking industry in general is trying to be more responsive to that. But yeah, I mean, you know, for a while that was holding things back. That was a long, deep, severe recession, and it was felt in all aspects of the economy.
Let's take another call from John in Windsor. Hello, John.
Hi. You know, my big thing is infrastructure. You know, Wisconsin has to have a good infrastructure in order to attract small businesses. And, you know, we got a bridge falling down in Green Bay. We got the west side of Madison. The Beltline is just crumbling. You know, millennials, there have been studies out showing that millennials want to go where there is good transportation, and I'm talking good public transportation. You know, Wisconsin, we just haven't done that. Minneapolis, they are, and you look at the, we've got people moving out. My nephew moved out of Wisconsin because he doesn't want to be where there isn't transportation.
John, thank you, because we're short on time. Do you think that's going to be a, that's an issue here, Tom?
Yeah, I think infrastructure is always a factor in the economy. Look at, you know, the creation in Wisconsin of farm-to-market roads, going back, mm-hmm. you know, a century or so. That was instrumental in the growth of the ag economy here in so many different ways. And I think that, yes, people do look for different ways to transport themselves. I mean, you know, look at actually the investment right now in something is, you know, may seem simple, but bicycle paths that you see those even on the Beltline in Madison where that's a part of how a lot of people are looking to transport themselves over time. But infrastructure can also include things like broadband telecommunications, which is very important in rural Wisconsin today.
Well, Tom, time flies, and we're at the end of this half hour. By the way, we will have the Department of Transportation Secretary Mark Gottlieb on the show tomorrow at 7:30 to talk about the Leo Frigo Bridge in Green Bay and other bridges in Wisconsin. So more on that tomorrow at this time. Tom, thanks a lot for being here.
Oh, you're so welcome, Joy.
Tom Still, president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. His column is called Creating More Jobs in Wisconsin. It's more than a political flap. It's hard work. This is the Ideas Network.